Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
I have an announcement here to start us off.
Well, excellent.
Meditation is one of the most effective ways to train the attention to be with present moment experience. Join Sangha for our virtual meditation groups, conference call meditation sessions that take place 7 days a week. And for more information about this and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org.
Lovely. No, we can never have the excuse of, well, it's just too hard to meditate by myself. We've taken care of that.
Yes, we have. Seems like we've taken care of nearly everything.
Well, we're endeavoring.
Yeah. Yes. And as a participant, I would say that it has been very successful for me.
Oh, very good. Very good. Are you enjoying the email class?
Loving it. It's great. It's great.
Fun, isn't it? Yeah.
Seeing myself, seeing everybody. And and I love the emphasis of going beyond, quote, my type, unquote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Expansive.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And a few reminders for tonight. If you'd like to get in the queue to talk with Sherry, please press *6 and then 1 to make guest show. And a conversation on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes is fabulous.
Yes, indeed.
All right, let's get started here.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Andrea calling.
Hey, Andrea.
Hi. Well, I am looking at acceptance, and that's a big thing that I'm looking at, and of a situation that's been going on for a long time, and would like some guidance about that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I am just struggling right now. With a family member that it's my son, and he's been having issues for a long time and goes through mood swings, and I feel like lots of judgment coming in, and not accepting him for who he is. And not accepting the situation, and and also just feeling like my peace of mind is dependent on his peace of mind, and I just feel like I don't. Like, he doesn't accept himself for who he is, and I'm not accepting him for who he is. And I'm just not accepting the situation.
Mm-hmm. And not accepting your non-acceptance.
Mm. That's a good question. I haven't thought about that. Yeah, maybe not.
Mm-hmm. Which is interesting, isn't it? Because
yeah.
Once we get started looking at something like that, it's all directed outward, right? Even the your reactions for the system that is orchestrating all this, your reactions are outside of acceptance.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. I think I'm not, because...
Yeah. You don't accept him, and you don't accept you. You don't accept the situation, and you don't accept your reaction to the situation.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I feel like it's really hard to talk to him because, you know, if I'm in that judgment, and often, like, he'll lash out if he's not in a good mood and say some really, really hurtful things. And so I pretty much avoid him unless he comes up to me and wants to talk. And then that kind of falls away to a certain degree, but it just makes it really hard. And I also, like last week, it was really, you know, like I could really see myself being tortured by ego with all these stories. And
what are the stories, Andrea? What does it torture you with?
Well, really terrible self-hate. Like, I never should have had him. You know, he's defective. And, you know, that it would be better if he wasn't here, which he said as well. And, I mean, just terrible, awful things. I mean, last Thursday it was really hard, and I was just really, like, having to really consciously choose to be in the moment. And
okay, now let me ask you this. Is he a child?
He's 19, so he's not a child. He's still living with us, though. And so, you know, I feel like it's very hard. I just feel like my mood is dependent on what's going on with him. And it's just
So he's 19.
Yeah.
And he is living with you.
Right.
And your life, it sounds like, is a misery because of this situation. Now, if
not
he were 12,
yeah.
if he were 12, that would be one
yeah.
thing. But he's 19. He actually doesn't
right.
need to be living with you.
No. And I wish he would move out. He's been talking about moving out, and nothing happens.
Wait. I keep hearing that you are a victim to this situation.
Yeah.
Right?
I guess so, yeah.
So he'd like to move out. You'd like him to move out. And yet you are waiting around for somebody that you've basically described as dysfunctional. To make decisions that will make your life okay.
Hmm. Yeah, and so it's really twisted because, you know, I mean, like he'll say he is going to do something and then can't follow through because of the issues going on with him. And then, of course, I get into this judgment and into
right.
this terrible
conversation. I get all of that. But
yeah.
the point that I don't get is, so there are other places that he could live. I mean, there are group homes. You know, there are places where groups of people who have issues live together, right? And they are on their own, or there could be a situation where it's a shared dwelling. You know, there are lots of ways that he could not live at home.
Yeah. I would love that, but I feel like I can't even talk to him about that.
Why?
Because he would just lash out at me before trying to tell him what to do.
Okay, great. You know, again, I don't mean to sound unsympathetic, okay? It's, you know, from listening to it from the outside, I mean, this is somebody who is impossible for you to live with. And you want to negotiate with him about him not living with you, but you can't do that because he lashes out at you when you try to do that.
Well, and when I try to, you know, say anything that he, you know.
Right. Yes. Okay. Whose house is this?
No, that's totally true. But the other thing is that it's not just me, it's my husband, and I don't know if he'd be on board for that either. So I guess I kind of feel like I'm alone in this dysfunctional house with both of them.
Okay. And so would these people go to counseling?
Yes, I think, and I'm investigating, I'm looking into that right now. In fact, my son is seeing a therapist right now. He started seeing one a few weeks ago, so, and then I'm about to see one, and my husband is agreeable to seeing one also with me.
Okay. Okay, yeah. And then maybe the two counselors get together and you have a family meeting, right? Because the way it is now, and I mean, there's always the option of you moving out. You know, if
and
they,
I'm,
if they,
I'm thinking about that. Actually,
yes. Well, why not? It's a perfectly viable alternative to the situation, because staying in this story of this doesn't work and this doesn't work and this doesn't work and I can't do this because of this and this won't work because of this and that, it's just, it's a story that is designed by ego to create the maximum amount of suffering, which it seems like it's doing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, one of the things you might say is, this is really not working for me, guys. And so I'm going to find a place and let me know what you decide to do, because I'm not living with both of you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there. Now, will the voices just rail at you and carry on? And of course they will, but they are now.
That's true.
So that wouldn't be, if the content may be different, but the process would be the same.
Yeah.
So above all, you know, you started out with the acceptance thing. To accept that the way it's going now is not working. And it doesn't have to be anybody's fault. We don't have to say it's because of this, and he's this way, and my husband is this way, and I'm this way. And we don't have to do any of that.
Yeah. Yeah, and actually it makes me think of a caller. There was a conversation really similar to this, like about getting out of a situation and it not meaning that anybody's bad. It's just that it's not working.
It's not working.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, I the list of people that I wouldn't want to live with is just about the number of people on this planet.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we get hung up in these ideas that are being presented to us by egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate and supported by egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. And then we get fooled into thinking that that's true and real, and my options need to be acceptable to that system. No. No.
Yeah.
And I'll say one other thing before I let you go, and that is that we never know if our taking a stand isn't exactly the greatest kindness for everybody. We're told that it'll be awful and it's a disaster, but from what you're telling me, the way it is now would qualify as awful and a disaster. And so if somebody takes a stand to end the insanity, perhaps that would be helpful for everyone.
Yeah, totally. I have a place I could go anyway, that's beside the point, but I could try to get out in a few days because I could, under the pretext of helping my mother who broke her hip. So,
and it doesn't have to be a pretext, Andrea. It doesn't have to be a pretext. You could say,
that's true,
this is untenable. I am not going to live like this.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally get what you're saying. And I think that I may need a little time to kind of think about how to say it and get some counseling and then do it. But it sounds like what you're saying is maybe I could just do it right away.
And anytime you're ready.
Right. Maybe I don't feel ready yet. Like, I want to do it, but I feel like I need a little more time to prepare for it.
Okay. Just here's my encouragement. Be very aware of what you're listening to as you go through that process.
Okay.
Because you know where most of the information is going to come from.
Right. Don't believe the conversation and conditioned mind.
Exactly. Well stated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, yes. Well, thank you so much.
You
is
are
helpful.
So welcome.
This is really helpful.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
Let us know.
Okay. I will.
All
thank
right.
you.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Gosho.
Gosho.
Thanks for joining us, Andrea. And that was fascinating sharing. Very helpful to me.
Good. Good. We just get, you know, we just get stuck in these loops, which is completely understandable because we've had so much conditioning that says that we should. You know, so many the right shoulds that we can find ourselves just absolutely paralyzed and in situations that really aren't a kindness for anybody.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Yeah, I can see that. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Michael and Sherry. This is Judy from California.
Hey, Judy.
Good morning. I mean, hello. So,
good evening.
Good
afternoon. Good night.
Thank you. We've been talking in the morning about mirroring and projection, and we've been working on projection for years, but I'm not clear with the distinction between projection and mirroring, where mirroring comes in. And I wondered if we could talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. And I might, if Ashwini's listening, I might rope her in at some point because I think she has a great deal more clarity on this than I do. But I'll give it a shot. Okay?
She said something this morning about we use projection and then mirroring takes us back home. And that was when I decided I needed to have more.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
So, well, the thing is, I think in the original conversation, it sort of went along the lines of, I'm in a conversation with somebody, and they are not presenting for me an image of me that I like. So you and I are in a conversation, and you the things that you're saying, I find myself really upset over.
Okay.
So I don't want to talk to you, right? I don't want to talk to you. Maybe I have to talk to you because you're my sister or my daughter or whatever. But I don't like it because I don't like who I am when I'm talking with you. Now, it takes a while before I get that the problem is mine. I'm conditioned to believe that it's you that there, and I could give a whole list of things, ways that you are, things that you say, attitudes that you have, beliefs that you hold, that are the problem. Okay, and so it's just, of course, I'm going to be upset about that. I don't want to talk to you anymore. Now, if I'm talking with you, and you are my best friend. And we've known each other forever, and we're pretty much in agreement about everything. I love to talk with you because I love who I am when I'm talking with you. Right? You're fun and you're interesting, and you make really good points that I enjoy. You know, you're mirroring me in a way that really works for me. Now, if we take that step into projection. So with you as the first person, if I followed those things back to me, I'm projecting all of these irritating qualities onto you, right? They're coming from me. They're actually not coming from you. What's irritating me is not you. my programming is irritating me. But of course, everything is designed for us never to see that. I'm never meant to get that all of my problems in life come back to the ego that I identify with, the conditioning that I am wrapped up in. I'm never supposed to see that. It talks to me about what's wrong with you, and I believe that that's true. It's her. Okay?
Yeah. So I can get the point that when I'm upset with somebody, it's easy for me to look and see where that is in me and identify with, you know, I can see that. I mean, if they're, mm-hmm. you know, I can see that. The mirror and what she said is a little bit different. What dropped in is that, oh, I don't like how that has me be in kind of in this
yes.
mood. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I look in the mirror and I look really good. Oh, okay. Here I go out into the day.
Uh-huh.
I look in the mirror and, ugh.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if other people do that.
Yes.
I suppose everybody does that. You know, one day you look, yeah, I look okay. And the next day, good God. Right? Now, nothing has changed about mm-hmm. that face or that mirror in that
mm-hmm.
day.
Mm-hmm.
So we can get where that comes from. But if we're really identified, we could blame the mirror.
Oh, yes.
It's probably the lighting.
Uh-huh.
I need
uh-huh.
mood lighting. I need mood lighting in my bathroom mirror in these days. Yeah.
So it's a little bit is it more of who that brings forth in me?
I would think so, yes.
Okay.
And I don't want to see that, you see. That's what because that's so much of keeping the ego game alive,
uh-huh.
right? If it's all me, well, I better start doing some work on myself.
Right, right. So
one other piece of that before we go on. If it's all ego, then I really need to do some work in that area. And that's what we're going to close in on. It's not me. It's actually not me. It's the ego identity that is the struggle.
So when I dislike something in another person, when I look, I can find that that's about me, that that's mm-hmm. in me.
Mm-hmm.
And when another person is acting a way that I don't like, that's a mirror of that brings forth in me what I don't like. So it's another way of looking. It's another path to look at ego, another
yeah.
path to look at what's bothering
yes,
me.
Basically.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah. And yeah. It and the both of those, projection and mirrors, all come. Everything comes back to me.
Yes.
Right. That's the tricky part. It's just it's another way of seeing the same thing because.
Uh-huh.
Right, because, okay, I get projection. That tree is really beautiful. Okay, wow, I'm projecting that. So I must be, okay, right? And but when it comes to things that are really difficult for us, things that we find upsetting or that we don't like or whatever, projection is much, much harder for us. So if we can stop and look at what is going on with me about this? Now I've disidentified, right?
Mm-hmm.
I've stepped back and I'm looking at what the conditioning is telling me about this other person. I know it's projection.
Mm-hmm.
What is here that I am conditioned to identify with that I'm now seeing for what it is?
Mm-hmm. And so mirroring gets me the same result. It's just a little different way to look at it, to get in there, to look
at
the
I think
okay.
so.
Ashwini, okay.
Ashwini, are you listening? Can you unmute yourself? We'll put her on the spot
Let me just unmute her here. Hold on one sec, Sherry.
All right.
All right. There's Ashwini.
Hey, Ashwini.
Hey, Sherry.
Do you have any insights for us?
Well, I think that's exactly what we were looking at in the exercise in the year-long. Just simply that it's exactly what you said, Cherry, that when we project onto something, there's one view of what's going on for me. When I look in the mirror of somebody else, when somebody is mirroring me, I can see ego in a different way. That's simply uh-huh. it, right? So I can see that if this person is, say, has an opinion about a political orientation that's different from mine, I can actually watch the ego in me react in a way that is very different if the person has an opinion that is similar to mine. So those people who mirror us tend to let the ego be all right in some way, and in other cases, for the ego not to be all right. And so I just get to see how that me reacts in different situations, and to really get, well, sometimes when I'm with people who are like-minded, am I actually authentically in awareness, or am I actually just happy being me? How do I know that?
Uh-huh. And the projection part of it is, it feels almost clinical compared to the just watching myself react, either what I would consider positively or negatively. I don't have to follow anything back. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just know, right? I mean, it's just an interesting way of also looking at who I hang out with. Why do I hang mm-hmm. out with them? Because I genuinely want to, or I'm aware when I'm hanging out with them, or that just because nothing they do actually needs requires me
triggers
to get in
me.
Touch with something. Yeah, uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. How
that's
is that?
Very, yeah, that's very helpful. That's very. It just makes me think that ego doesn't have a chance when we've got
right.
all these
right.
ways to look.
Yeah, well, and yeah. The thing that Ashwini added to the conversation just then that I found very helpful was, why am I with these people?
Uh-huh.
You know, is it, I feel better. I could even say I feel centered, but is that simply because this is the ego identity that I'm familiar with and comfortable with, and nothing is challenging me, so I can comfortably be there and it possibly be close to sound asleep through
uh-huh.
the whole
uh-huh.
thing, because nothing uh-huh. is causing me to wake up.
Right, right. Okay, that's a new piece of it that I hadn't seen. Go ahead, Ashwini.
And I had another thing drop in, right, Cherry, from the conversation we were having on the year-long show, that how much we miss of all we can be if we are only seeking to be a way, which is the theme of the Enneagram class as well. So I only hang out with these kind of people. I only do these kinds of things. And so I'm actually controlled around anything that would cause the ego to be revealed. And so my life is really small, and my experience of myself is very small, because I don't want to be in situations where I'm not reflected as who I am. My identity isn't challenged.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Great. Great.
All right. Well, good. Thank you
very
for
helpful.
Asking.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us, Ashwini.
Thanks, Sherry. Thanks, Judy.
Sure. To be continued.
To
Thank
be continued.
Good night. Gosho.
Gosho.
Thanks for joining us, Judy. And that was fabulous, Sherry. That was illuminating for me also.
Yeah. Yeah. It is tricky. It's a tricky, subtle one. And when I knew people were going to ask about it, I actually did prep Ashwini. I might bring her in to clarify some points that I think are clear for her. But yeah, it's a big one.
Yes. So just briefly, if I understood what you were saying, when I hang around people who I quote like or similar to me, have similar beliefs, likes, all of that, then I can feel centered, and yet perhaps nothing challenges my
yeah.
ego identity.
Yeah, I'm just basically kind of dozing along.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's really comfortable. We can see why
yes.
people prefer that, right? Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Because I don't have to deal with what happens to me in those other situations, right? So if I'm with somebody that I find really challenging, I'm going to get upset. I shouldn't get upset. What's wrong with me for being upset? But there really is something wrong with them. I shouldn't be upset about them, but there really is something. So all the beliefs and assumptions get reinforced, and, you know, self-hate gets to beat me up for exactly what it has trained me to be and do.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Good. And Sherry, we're going to take a break here for a good news update, and then we'll come back and talk with more callers.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. And Jen, I'll turn it over to you for a good news update.
All right. Wonderful, Michael. And Ashwini is popular tonight because she is also here to join us for good news to assist me with launching the 2025 Bridge Walk. Welcome, Ashwini.
Hey, Jen. I'm not in the queue.
You're not in the queue?
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Am I unmuted?
Yeah, you're
okay.
Yeah,
wonderful.
You're.
All right, good. I didn't know if I got muted after my last appearance.
No, I think you're just right here with us. Yep.
All right. Well, it's our favorite time of the year, isn't it, Jen?
Indeed. Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we bring out all the stories.
Yes. So the 2025 Bridge Walk is here, and you are the best person to talk about that. So
yeah,
give us a little bit of information on what the campaign is this year, and we'll talk about it as you give us that information.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's fun the way it came about. I guess it was. It's so funny, actually, because the time does funny things. I was like, is it really only a year ago, or is it 2 years ago? I don't know. Anyway, when the guide had this beautiful insight, I think it was around an email class with money and that sort of thing, and really inviting us to step into a place of abundance as Sangha in general. And one of the things that came out of that was inviting people who felt moved to really take that attitude of mind towards supporting the work in Africa. And so a number of people really stepped forward to do that. And last Bridgewalk season, it was very, very fun, the various creative ways that people chose to do in their own communities things to support the project. So this year, fast forward, we've been meeting with that group of folks and kind of looking at, you know, what is the campaign for this year? And we had this fun insight at one point that was, you know, what if the campaign was just taking the ideas that many folks in this process have come up with in their own lives and in their own communities and offering those out to all of Sangha? Because many of them are really simple ideas, because we wanted a way, you know, as always, the big thing is participation. You know, that's what makes everything fun. That's what makes everything work. That's, I think, the greatest demonstration of love, right, is the participation. And so the name of the campaign for this year is A Menu of Contribution. And if you go to the website, on the Africa part of the website, and you go in the Get Involved tab, under that is the Bridge Walk. And if you go to that page, it starts with A Menu of Contribution. And there are a whole, literally, menu of ways that people can assist with things like maybe your workplace does matching funds. You know, I know there are a number of people who never thought to ask and then realize that all the contributions they're making to Living Compassion can be matched by their workplace. Or to donate, you know, we're coming into the holiday season. So either ask your loved ones, you know, I know people often ask me, what do you want, you know, for the holidays? And there isn't really anything that I want. And so I'll often tell them, I want you to contribute to Cantalomba, and or to donate in the name of your loved ones. So I'll stop talking. That was a lot. But that's the spirit of it, that there are all these different creative ways that people can participate.
Mm-hmm. I love the name, the menu of contributions, A, because it's literally presented as a menu. You can choose what it is that you want to do, and they're all very, very simple. They're all doable, and rather than all of us having to work out how to do a fundraiser, we could just look at the menu and pick off what we might do. And they're really, really, as you said, Jen, some of them are, of course, complicated, like you hold a fundraiser or you teach a class or something like that. But my favorite one on there, and I know Sherry's going to jump in about this, was a brilliant idea that somebody had, which is to donate your credit card points. Yeah. Like if you have a credit card and you use it, at the end of the year, you accumulate points, and you can just donate that. Somebody else was talking about these subscriptions that they don't use, and when they terminated the subscriptions, they just decided that instead of spending that money on the subscription that is never used, it could be donated to the project. So it's just a wonderful compilation of ideas from the Africa stewards on how everyone can participate in supporting the project.
Yeah, and what we're hoping is, so we want to raise $90,000. We need to raise $90,000 to support another year of transformation in Cantalumba. And you know, it's way more fun if we all do our part instead of any one person needing to do, you know, all the heavy lifting. And so, I mean, please.
Go ahead. Sorry, Jim. Well, and I just wanted to mention that the last year's bridge walk, which spawned this idea, there were maybe 15 stewards who did incredible fundraisers, and we almost made that number, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was such a successful campaign because it was organic. Everybody felt enthusiastic. Everyone just jumped on board and really, really put together stuff that raised what we needed to raise last year.
Yeah.
So go ahead.
And that's a beautiful point, because not to dissuade anyone who, and actually there are many Africa stewards who are already heading in that direction. They're still going right on with whatever they're wanting to plan. And we also have a number of people who truly have kept that rhythm since we were walking across the Golden Gate Bridge, which has been a number of years now, you know?
Yes.
I mean, I think the first time we did that was like 2002. And so there are people for whom fall comes and it's time to raise money for the bridge walk, and they do with whatever they do each year with their own communities. So for people who are doing that, you know, that's wonderful. And that's a really, I cannot, you know, overstate what a huge boost that is to the project to have that kind of rhythmic, regular, committed support, because we truly couldn't do it without that. And so with the campaign, what we're looking at is, are there 300 of us who could come forward to raise $300, donate $300, and it could be a combination. So I think one of the things we're talking about is, okay, so I donate my credit card points. I might also mention that to my friends and family. Hey, I've got this project that I love. You know, if you feel moved to, you know, do it, I'm donating my credit card points. You know, if you want to do that too, let me give you the information on how to do that.
Yeah, that's brilliant. It's our mechanisms for fundraisers. So it could be a personal fundraiser, something that you do, or you could get with people to do.
Exactly.
And tell us a little bit how this is going to happen, Jen.
Yeah, exactly. So each Monday, we're going to be sending an email that features one of those ways. So as I say, on the website, there's a whole menu of them. For some of us, that's a lot of information all at once. It can feel like, rrr. So each Monday, we're going to send out an email that features one of the ways, as well as, you know, information about Cantalumba and one of the stories that's happening in Cantalumba, and kind of reconnect us with the inspiration of that and what we're doing and why we're doing it. You know, I was just, well, I'm not going to give too much away, but I was recently going back through some things that kind of brought me right back to Cantalumba. And even, you know, me, who used to be there all the time and say to folks, like, you know, I'm sorry, everyone can't go with us. I haven't been there in years now because of, you know, pandemic and all kinds of things. So at any rate, I was so steeped in it that I reconnected with what it feels like to be there. And that's such an amazing, glorious experience. And I truly do wish everyone could have that experience. But short of that, I want the Bridgewalk season to be a time where people get reconnected with how phenomenal it is that literally, you know, over 20 years ago now, Sherry met someone in Assisi, Italy, who invited her to come and do this. And she said yes. And how much all of our lives have been transformed by that. And thousands of people in the community of Cantalomba, their lives are forever changed by that one inner exchange that happened and that yes that we're so trained to in practice. And so throughout the campaign, we'll be sending those emails out. Many Tuesdays, we'll get to hear on good news from stewards who are the ones who came up with these ideas, who are doing these things themselves. So we'll get to hear that. And then towards the end of November, Sunday, November 23rd, we're going to have a workshop where the way we framed it on the website was too many choices, you know, kind of are you overwhelmed by what all the different directions? We're going to have a fabulous workshop that Sunday to just get together, make it manageable, make it fun, reconnect with why we're doing all of this.
And the way you've talked about that workshop, right, Jen, it is, okay, we have a menu of possibilities. How do I can do it as an awareness practice workshop, right? How do I decide which one I'm attracted to, why, which one I don't feel like doing, why, which one I can, and then come up with this really small menu of possibilities for me that I'm committed to doing for the rest of the campaign.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. So Sangha being what it is, they are so fabulous. So the first email went out yesterday, and we were originally going to launch a week from today. So I neglected to change the date on that email. So I think it said that that we were launching on Good News on November 5th, but we're launching today. But never fear, we have another fabulous guest related to this next Tuesday. And the other thing that people pointed out was there was no donate button on that email that went out. And already want to donate. So, A, thank you for being so willing to jump in, and B, thank you for giving us the heads up that we need to add the donate button. So, we shall.
Yeah. Yes. Well, thank you for that, Jen. And you know, all we can say is we are launched.
We are launched, indeed. We have we have begun the journey across the bridge. Yeah.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. Well, and I love that word too. I think we'll see it used so often because the campaign is the bridge to Africa, and that is the bridge that we're building, right? Bridge between hearts, bridge of love, bridge of support, bridge of connection, and of course bridge of investment. At all time, money, energy, enthusiasm, excitement.
And the last one that dropped in as you were saying that, Ashwini, is bridge of courage, because of all, you know, I think we'll hear some of those stories through the bridge walk, but you know, just the courage it takes for so many folks in Cantalomba to be doing what they're doing. And, you know, I love matching that courage with, okay, yeah, I can take that step forward that I want to take to support to come up against what I need to come up against to be the support that I want to be for the project, essentially. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And we have a fabulous group of Africa stewards who are leading us in that direction as well. So thank you to all of them for coming up with this selection of ideas.
Yeah, amen. And thank you for being with me today to talk about it.
Thanks, Dan.
All right, Michael, we'll turn it back over to you and Sherry.
Wonderful. Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Ashwini. And welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And that's fabulous.
I know one person who's really lit up.
That's great.
It's just extraordinary. It really is. And as they were talking, I was thinking about, you know, periodically there's so much happening in this country right now. The news overload is just insane. But many people recall when USAID was ended, and I just read an article in the last few days about the number of people, the number of children who are going to die as a result of that aid being cut off. And when that happened, it was so wonderful to know that the people in Cantaloma would still be all right. I mean, it's kind of it can sound a bit selfish, you know. All of these other people are suffering in these ways, and God knows that's, you know, that's not something that we are insensitive to. And we can still be deeply grateful that all of what people have put in over the last 20 years makes sure that those children are not going to die for lack of clean water and nutrition and the kinds of medicines they need, and their parents aren't. And the extended community has resources because of what people in this sangha around the world have done over the last 20 years. And so it's something I hope people can take in. Because again, you know, a lot of people get really defeated with the idea of, you know, well, what can you do? My God, what can you do? Everything is so chaotic now. It seems that there's just so much lack of care, let's say. And here we are, you know, just moving right ahead to do the very best we can in this situation for those folks. And of course, we're always focused on being that for one another. So hope people take that in, and everybody who has contributed in any way, to just realize that, as Jen said, thousands and thousands of lives have been changed, we could say saved, because of this. So it's very big and important and heart opening, and as Jen and Ashwini were pointing out, it's also a really fun thing to be involved with, as you well know.
Yes, I do. And another fun aspect of it for me is it takes me far away from the voices and the very old bad stories in my head. So
yes, right. Yeah, okay, nasty voices in the head. That may be true, but right now I'm focused on this other really beautiful thing. And
yes.
So that's what I'm going to pay attention to. We can't
exactly.
have too many of those.
Yes, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
So true. And we have another caller here.
All right.
Here we go. Next.
Oh, my gosh. Hello, this is Elizabeth.
Well, hello, Elizabeth. I
Can
understand
you, hear me?
You have. I understand
Can you hear me?
We. Oh, dear. Oh,
hello?
Dear God. Oh, no.
Hello?
Yeah,
we can hear you.
This happened last week. I got on and I can't hear anything.
Yeah. Okay.
Is anybody there?
Michael, maybe she'll call back in if we...
Hello?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure how to communicate with her. But,
I am not muted.
Okay.
I'm going to give it a few more seconds.
Okay.
And the show's gone, so...
We're talking.
Back. Yeah.
Oh, son of a gun.
Okay. All right. That's unfortunate. I hope she calls back.
It is, because I know it happened last week, too, and I was so hopeful that it would go differently this week. But
Yes. All right. Here we go. Next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello. This is Carol in Washington.
Well, hello, Carol.
I'm still smiling from that conversation about Africa and how thrilling it is. For just the whole story was very uplifting.
Isn't it?
So
and
sweet.
You know, the word that Jen used, courage. You know, if we ever feel our own courage kind of waning or getting shaky or whatever, well, we can turn to spend a little time with those folks and say, "Oh, okay, I think I can carry on."
Yeah, it's giving me a big smile right now.
Good. We need those.
Yes, absolutely. I picture those little kids and just having their beans every day. And okay, now I have
a
question.
Are, Carol. I can't resist. They are full of beans. I will attest to that. They're some happy little children.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I do have a question.
Okay.
This is one of those things that may not have an answer. I don't know. But on a call this weekend, I think it was, there was a conversation about a quote about waking dream state. So I don't know.
This is an anxiety dream that we are attempting to wake up from? Uh-oh. Did we lose Carol too? Did we lose me?
I can hear you, Sherry, and I can see Carol. Carol, can you hear us? Is Mercury retrograde, Sherry?
I don't know. I think our phone lines are.
Wow.
Well.
Huh. I just lost her. All right.
Well, maybe Elizabeth and Carol will be calling back in.
Yes, I hope so. I'm going to try and bring Elizabeth on again here, Sherry.
Okay, sure.
All right. Elizabeth,
hello, this is Elizabeth.
Are you there? Do we have contact?
Taking a deep breath and waiting, not hearing anything.
Okay. All right.
Elizabeth?
Not hearing anything.
Elizabeth?
Except.
Oh, wow. Okay, so we'll try it again, Sherry.
Okay, well, maybe this is the practice that I needed. Showing up and accepting what is.
Showing up and accepting what is. Boy, isn't that the truth for all of us.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, I muted Elizabeth.
All right, and did you get Carol again?
Yes. All right, Carol, you are back live again.
Hi. Oh, the call got dropped, but I'm back.
Action packed tonight.
I don't know if you heard my question. Did you hear?
Yes. Well, I think you were referring to that this is an anxiety dream from which we are waking up.
Yes. Yes, that's it.
Well, I want to be clear about one thing that many people talk about this plane of existence as a dream state.
Right.
Okay. But we're told that we're awake, but we're actually not. We're actually dreaming this whole thing. I added the part about it being an anxiety dream because somebody was telling me about an anxiety dream, and I said, oh, my God, that's such a perfect description of what it's like to be alive on this plane of existence. I don't know. I'm supposed to do all this stuff. I don't know where it is. I can't figure it out. I can't find I think I'm supposed to, but I can't seem to make it. Yeah. Anxiety dream.
Right. And then, but that we're waking up from a dream state. It seems so, what I look out and see seems like that's what's going on, but apparently, well, I don't know what my question is, but I do remember Go ahead.
Well, if we just take it from right there, and then you'll think of what you were going to say next. You look out at the world, and you see the world that you see.
Mm-hmm.
I look out at the world, and I don't see the world you see. I see the world I see.
Mm-hmm.
And for however many billion people there are, that is the case for every single person. We've mm-hmm. been taught to believe that we're seeing the same world. But it's obvious we're not seeing the same world, right? Because look how everyone is being. Look how everyone is acting. Of course we're not all seeing the same thing or feeling the same thing or coming from the same place. Of course we're not. It's completely obvious at the briefest glimpse that it's all different for everybody. Yeah?
I heard part of that, and then I think I'm having trouble with phone reception today, but I think that we might look out and see the same building, but we
no,
see...
No, 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 I'm sure we don't. I am sure we don't. If you go around and you look at buildings, how many of them would you build? Right? So you look... I love building. I love architecture. So I have some really strong opinions about these things. And, mm-hmm. I mean, 90% of what's built, I wouldn't build. I think it's ugly. Yeah? But clearly, I mean, people spend a lot of money to build things that they think are beautiful. So they're having a very different experience from mine.
Yeah. Okay.
Even a tree. You know, people look at a tree. Some people just walk up with a chainsaw and cut it down.
That's true, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, we might be visualizing the same building, but we're seeing it with our eyes, but we're...
Well, maybe, and that's an interesting one, too. Do you know the experience of suddenly seeing something that must have been there all along and you'd never seen it?
Yes.
It can even be someplace that you're actually really familiar with, right? And it's that place of, where did that come from? What is that new? How did that, right? And then other people assure you, no, it's been there all along. I never saw it. Well, how is that possible?
Yeah, you're right. That can happen.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we really are all in different universes.
I suspect so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which wouldn't really be a problem if we just accepted it, right?
Exactly.
But we're so devoted to trying to make everybody be in the same universe.
Oh, so just letting go of that might be a way to be more at peace with each other.
Oh, absolutely. If our response to everything was, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm really, yeah, exactly.
My way is right.
Absolutely. Well, no, Carol. My way is right. Yeah. And as long as you agree with me, then our way is right. Yeah. And so I'm really devoted to that community in Zambia. But I don't know that that's a good thing. I think it is. I assume it is, but I don't know that.
No, we can't really. But
no.
As you say, letting go of that, knowing, well, I know it is. No, I don't know it is, but it's what I'm going to do because in my heart.
Exactly. There's the secret, right? I don't know, but it's what I'm called to do. It's
what the outcome is going to be, we don't know. I don't know what it'll be look like tomorrow or something else or next month. But for now, it's what is in my heart to do, yes.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Isn't that relaxing?
It is relaxing. I feel relaxed thinking of it that way, that I don't have to know. And for now, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And the other phrase that goes along with this that makes it so relaxing is, I don't have to figure anything out. Because I only have to figure things out if I need to know. And if I know, I can't possibly know, which we can't. That is the most obvious thing in the world. But the belief systems that people hold keep us from realizing something so obvious. We cannot know what has not yet happened.
Mm-hmm.
It's not possible. And yet, people's lives are made miserable because they should know.
They should know, and the labels can be dropped, like good, bad. It's like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. You know,
that's right.
I don't know what the label is for this, but I'm miserable when I put labels on things or quantifications on it, or when ego does. But to just be here, practice being here, and being like, oh, it looks this way today, right now. Oh, it looks another way tomorrow. And I don't know. It's so relaxing.
Yes. And I can be fascinated by the fact that I get caught up thinking I know something or believing I should or being willing to feel bad that I didn't, that I don't. So we can see all of those things about ourselves, all the way we've been trained, all the ways we've been conditioned, right? And we can realize, well, that's just really all nonsense. There's no truth to any of it.
Yeah, it's nonsense, and that is really freeing.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Well, you are so very welcome. Glad the phones hung in there for this period of time anyway.
Yes, me too. And go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks for joining us, Carol. And you two are right on the button of 9
I'm
o'clock, right? 6 o'clock.
We are timely people.
I'll just say top of the hour, and that will cover all of us.
That's right. That's it. That's very good. Instead, you're going, 9 o'clock for me and 6 o'clock for you. And if you're in Central Time, that would be, we don't have time for that.
And we don't.
All right.
And all in Europe and abroad. And
that's right.
Yeah.
And if you're listening in Australia, then we have no idea. Thank you,
all right.
Michael.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, everyone.
Go happy.
Happy.